I was asking Joni, I said, do you put those, make those right there? She does a good job, doesn't she? And he is risen, and thank you for doing that. I really appreciate it. It really adds to the whole thing. Yeah, it does. Appreciate all these things. So thank you very much. I appreciate all of you. Just that you choose to come here is important. So thank you. And I'll try to always do my best to give you the best word of God that I can and give you something to go away with and use during the week. So I want to begin kind of follow up after Easter with, I just titled this God's Way. Didn't know how else to title it. I try to think of these cute, catchy titles, and sometimes I just can't, so I just have to be, yeah, God's Way. That's all I know. And it's a passage, I haven't brought a message on in a while, but it's in Romans 12. I make reference to, every pastor does, to this passage, but let's go in and really grab this thing. In Romans 12, verses 1 through 2, so we only have two verses to deal with, but that does not generally mean a shortened message, but it means less scripture reading anyway. But in Romans 12, the Holy Spirit through Paul, he just spoke through Paul to summarize this whole thing about what God's will, God's way really is for us to achieve, to become godly, to be all that he wants us to be, spiritual people, holy people. And so it says this, and this is, I'm using New International Version today to read this from. If you're new with us, I'll use different versions, whichever seems to bring it out the clearest, I'll use it. But this one in the NIV does a pretty good job. And he said, therefore, I urge you, brothers and, of course, sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. He said, this is your spiritual act of worship. And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is, that is good and pleasing and perfect will. We read all of these passages and we study, and there's so much to study and to learn, but right here it kind of condenses it, brings it into one capsule to say, if you want to know God's will, here's the way to get it. Some of it, you know, all of us from one time to another, many of you right now may be struggling saying, I'm just not sure of God's will or on this particular thing, this particular subject, or maybe I'm just not sure of God's will, what's happening in the world in this life. And he said, if you want to know, if you're really serious about knowing God and his will, he said, you're going to have to learn these two verses and follow God's way and how to know my will. And he said, you know, it begins with offering your body as a living sacrifice. And he said, I don't want you killing yourself. God doesn't want dead, you know, sacrifices. That system's out. That's not what he's asking you. But he's saying, I want you to consider yourself as a sacrifice presented to, just like in the Old Testament, on the altar of God to the Lord. And what is he saying? A living sacrifice. He's saying this. A sacrifice was an animal that was killed and cut into quarters, into pieces, offered to God and burnt, roasted to the Lord as a sweet smelling aroma to God. And he's saying, in a spiritual sense, I want you to offer your body as dead to everything else around you and alive to me, a sweet smelling fragrance to me. So what he's saying is, I want you, your body, all that composes your body, your heart, soul, spirit, mind, will, emotion, and your physical body, I said, I want that offered as a sacrifice to me, to where literally you're a good smelling aroma. To where, in other words, to where you're not stinky. Because sin is stinky, and God doesn't want it. And sin is sin. God detests sin, and he hates it. So we have to offer ourselves, cleansing our hearts, repenting of our sins, receiving God's forgiveness and the blood of Jesus cleansing us. And to grab this concept, what he's saying is this. I want you to come to me in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit, and I want you to offer yourself to me in such a way that you're dead to these things around you. And so to make it, you know, just really get down to where it meets the pavement, it's like Tony, when you're driving down I-10, I want you really dead to those people driving 100 miles an hour. Okay. and when you go into San Antonio and there's people blowing their horns at you, do you get aggravated at horn blowing? And some people don't mind that. For me, if somebody gets up behind me and lays on the horn, it goes all the way through my whole body. And I turn from being pastor to military minded. And I'm thinking, if I just had a rear turret, a machine gun that fires from the rear, and then God is saying, really? Seriously? You're thinking that evil thought? And of course, you try to justify it and say, God, it's just a thought. And he said, uh-huh. Well, if you think it in your heart, you're guilty of it. And it's like, oh, man. And so I know some of you have never physically killed anybody, but how many people in your mind have you murdered? Are you lost count? Okay. Yeah, me too. You know, and I've been so mad in my past. I quit doing this a long some time ago, so you'll know this won't happen to you. I get so mad. I've got a little shooting range out there where I live, and I just on those targets, I would picture the faces of certain people that really tick me off, and I just shoot them full of holes. And it's like, are you really serious? And I mean, this is so godly, right? And it's like, but it feels good, God. And it's like, it's not supposed to. And so the whole point in this is this. God wants us so dead to the things of this world that we're not impressed with a bunch of money. We all want money and need money, but we're not impressed with it. In other words, it's not money that's evil. It's the root. It's the love of money that's the root of evil, not money. But he just wants us dead to those kind of things. And what do we need to be dead to as a living sacrifice? I need to be dead to what? To my greed, my ego, my pride, my temper. Have I hit on enough to make us all feel uncomfortable already? It's those things. What about your appetite? Do you need to be dead to that? Does anybody need to say, I just need to be dead to what, chocolate ice cream? Whatever it is, it's your favorite thing, and you know, need to be dead to what? Drinking too much? And on it goes. That's what that's what he's saying. He said, I want you to offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And so if I become a sacrifice to God, I'm literally spiritually died. And that's what the scripture teaches us to all these things around me. Friends, I'm still struggling with that. Are you? I still struggle. The things around me, I can't watch the news very much because it's just it's depressing and it makes me mad. I trained for so many years. I mean, this is hard to get over. And so, you know, don't misunderstand me here, but we worked so hard and we did so many things and sneaking around and doing, anyway, back in the old Cold War days. And all of that programming wasn't against China, it wasn't against it was against the Soviet Union, Russia. And so everything was their subterfuge, and we had to study their psychology of the KGB, all that they're doing, all the sneaky peeky stuff, and we were trying to counter that. So people asked me today and said, you're not real favorable towards Russia, are you? No. And if anybody that's even connected with the KGB, it's like, I can't. We trained to kill those people. And I know that's horrible, but we did. That's my former life. That's what we were there to stop them. So today, it's like, I have that whole mindset God's working on altering is to make me a living sacrifice, to say, Tony, you can't keep that military mindset. You can't look at it that way. And it's like, that is so very hard, God. I know so much about their inward workings and how they manipulate and propagandize and they how they control people so easily and persuade us. And so it's a very hard thing for me to do. And it's like, we're to love all people. And I'm sharing that from myself because hopefully it'll help you in your own struggles. there are just certain things in life that we have a hard time dealing with. And to be a living sacrifice, we've got to be dead to these things. You can't keep carrying grudges. You can't carry personal animosity, even though your training may have been programmed. I mean, we just knew the Russians were going to come through the Fulda Gap in Germany. And we had provisions pre-stocked over there in big giant warehouses. And we would fly. There used to be a program called Reforger. And it was how we would fly our troops from the States over there and match the troops up with equipment pre-positioned to stop all these Russian divisions coming through the Fulda Gap trying to take over Germany. All that's gone now, but it's in my head, it's in the head of many other people. And I'm just saying that to say that's one of my struggles with this, besides driving on I-10, is to overcome a mindset that was programmed for years, then God calls me and puts me in ministry, and the direct opposite of all of that. And once in a while, that struggle will come, and God then brings me back to this chapter 12 and says, I want you as a living sacrifice. That's not you. And by the way, to be a living sacrifice, whatever happened to you or whatever you did in your past, whether you were guilty of, you were the one that started it or did it or somebody else did it to you, there has to come a place somewhere, sometime, if you're going to know the will of God and be a pleasing sacrifice, you're going to have to give that to Him as a sacrifice and let it go. And the sooner you do it, the happier you'll be. The sooner you'll be free in the Lord and full of the joy of the Lord, just stop hanging on to this stuff. That's my struggle. I have to give it to God and not hang on to all whatever it is. Mine is in that realm. But for many of us, it's personal things, and it can be sexual, it can be some addiction, it can be all kinds of stuff. But friend, when are you going to stop living in the past? And just bring it all to the altar of God and say, you know, I've had enough of this. And I want to know the will of God. I want to be intimate with the Lord. And this stuff keeps getting in the way. And it's time I just give it up. I don't want it anymore. It's controlling my life. And the longer you stay mad at someone from your past, listen to me, the longer you stay mad at someone from your past, the longer that person is controlling you. If you can stop, I don't want to get everybody distracted, but if your mind can stray continually when you're in the shower or out walking, whatever it is, wherever it happens, if your mind strays continually to someone, some event, something in the past, they are in control of you, not God. And this isn't meant to be harsh. It's meant to say, God wants me to bring myself and offer that to Him on that altar and get over it. Whatever was, was. You know the great news about this when I do that? God says He'll remember my sins no more. He'll cast them into the depths of the sea and He'll remove them as far as the east is from the west. All I got to do is just be accountable to God, get it out there and let Him deal with it. And friends, it's time to do it and offer yourself a living sacrifice to God. You give your body to Him as God's temple. Give your mind to Him. Give your heart, soul, will, and emotion. Give it all to Him as an act of worship to God and say, here it is. How many of you don't have to raise a hand, but how many of you been hurt by somebody? You know, you've been through a divorce or whatever, and somebody lied to you. They totally stepped all over you. They betrayed the trust. And you're sitting here right now today, and you still can't let go and love again. You can't accept love in your life because somebody else, some toad, jumped right in the middle of the soup in your life, and you just keep seeing it there. I remember this. I don't know why. You know, terrible illustration, but I'm going to share it anyway because it still grosses me out. But, you know, one of those Harrison Ford movies, you know, it was the Raiders of the Lost Ark, and then there was another one in the middle. What was that? The Temple of Doom or something, where they're eating this soup and these two eyeballs pop up. I know it's terrible. You know, I just, that scene was just so vivid, and it's like, and I grossed out. I thought, oh. Eyes looking at you from your soup. Friends, how many of you have that experience right now from your past? And somebody's eyes just keep looking at you when you pray. They just literally, in a sense, keep looking from the soup, that fog of your life. I thought about that a whole lot, and I thought, right when you want to pray, right when you're trying to get, and you start reading your Bible, your thoughts drift, and you go right back to that, and there's something from the past just like that just pops up and looking at you. Why don't you take that whole bowl of soup and throw it out? Why keep stirring it, trying to get it to dissolve? Why don't you just throw it out and start clean with God? You did it, they did it. You don't know who did it, doesn't matter. Start clean. Quit stirring the past and just dump it at the foot of the cross. You just might find the love of God in Christ. You will find the love of God in Christ Jesus, and you'll find that people are trying to love you, and you're not letting them love you because you've got this wall up there, and I'll never let that happen again. Well, when you're doing that, you're not letting God in. You're telling God, because God loves us through people as much as through His Spirit. You just think about it. But that's what, that's the sacrifice part. And then he talks about transforming to God's will. By the way, the word transformation, transform comes from transfiguration, which means change into another form. Okay? So when you read this, be transformed, that means he wants you to be transfigured, like Jesus was transfigured on the mount into another form. So God wants you to offer yourself a living sacrifice so that you can be changed, literally transformed, transfigured into another form. What's that form? A godly person. A person who's not hung up with stuff. A person who's free. Listen, a person who's free, like Jesus said, to live on this earth in the power of the Holy Spirit, free to be who God made you to be. Jesus said what? If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will do what?
Set you free.
Now, thank you.
Hallelujah.
That's it. God put us here to be free, not bound up with a bunch of stuff. So you messed up. So what? Literally. In God's eyes, you ask Him to forgive. He's forgiven. Go on. Somebody wants to bring it up? Great. Bring it up. Yeah, you don't think people throw stuff at me? I've had people do this that know me from my life, and I've been hit right hard with this in my other churches I pastored, another denomination. Before we got all this going years ago, I had people to ask, and I was still in uniform, and I got caught up a lot. And people would ask me, how can you do that? How can you be up here preaching and then put that on, those cross rifles, and then go out and do that? How could you do that? Don't you have to live with yourself? And I thought, and I would tell them, I've been set free from all this stuff and your opinion. I do what I'm called to do, just as everybody else needs to do what they're called to do. But in my heart, you know, I get up, if I'm going to get up and preach about freedom, then I need to have the intestinal fortitude to go out and be willing to fight for it. Or I'm sure not much of a guy. And there's far too many pastors, preachers over the time. They do a whole lot of talking, but not much walking. It's like, quit telling me how to do it and what I ought to do. Are you doing it? Are you willing to get out there and get in the fight? And that's what I've told people over the year. And still, they still come up at times. How are you with your past? You know, can you, it's like, I did the walk. I did it the way I felt called to do it, my best way I could. We all got to do it our own way. But friends, listen to me. Don't let anybody put you on the chopping block. God wants you free, transformed by being a living sacrifice so that you can be who God put you here to be, and don't you let anybody else tell you what to do.
Amen.
You let the Holy Spirit tell you what to do. Now, I'm not talking about marital relationships, and we'll get into that someday. But just out here, don't let people's opinion keep you from being transformed into who God wants you to be. And I'll tell you this. Many people are afraid to be transformed. They're afraid to change because, and I've had people to say this to me, I don't know who I'd be without my issue. I have, you know. Without my addiction, I don't know me. Well, wasn't it time you got acquainted? Why don't you find out? And I've had people say this, I need my pain. I need to hurt. I need to be mad. I want to wake up every day mad. Because that's all I know. That's what I'm comfortable with. And it's like, let's work on getting uncomfortable real quick. Have you known people that just wake up mad every day? Okay, I'm the only one, but I've known people like that. Oh, you do? Okay, thank you. It's hard for us to admit these things. Yeah, well, and I hope none of you are married into that. Okay, you know, you just say, hi, mad, every morning. What are you mad at today? You know, and just get it over with. Just go ahead and have our fit. Wouldn't it be nice for all of us just to be able to wake up and say, thank you, Jesus, for another day? I'm here to be used. I'm not hung up on people's opinion. I'm not trying to be popular. I'm not out here to make a whole bunch of friends. I'm out here to make Christians. I'm out here to share Christ and be a Christian and free in the Spirit just to do what you want me to do today. Enough said. Let me give you, real quick, so I don't keep you a real long time, let me give you some things that what the enemy uses to keep you from being transformed. Because I bring this word, and nobody ever taught me this stuff. I had to. You know, I've heard these messages way back in the past, and you know, go to seminary and you discuss all this stuff and study it. What I kept asking myself was, okay, that's great, but there, how do you do it? And what are the obstacles? If it was so easy, we'd all be there. So what is it that keeps so many people from being a living sacrifice and then from being transformed, totally removed from the world messing with them at all, and being who God wants them to be? So let me give you a few of these things that I've had that God's just given me and learned over the years. That first of all, fear. Fear. Fear keeps us from being transformed. Let me tell you one of the things, and this is the honest to God truth, just getting down with it. Why aren't there more real spirit-filled, radical, free in the spirit Christians? Here's number one. They're afraid if they become that spiritual that there's going to be people they call their friends right now who won't associate with them anymore. Even family members. And some of you have probably been put against the wall with this, where somebody said, you don't have to be that spiritual. My goodness, you know, you don't have to act like that. Just calm down. We're just regular people here. And it intimidated and it's insulting, but it makes you cower back, you know. Hey, you know, just be one of us. I've had it. That's how I know, you know. Oh, just calm down. You know, and I've had people say back in my life, you know, you're a pastor, I know, but we're just real people. You don't have to talk that way. And I used to when I was younger in this. I'd let them get away with it. Until one day the Lord began to speak to me on this, and it's like, that's the devil speaking. Why are you so afraid of family, relatives, so-called friends, that they can speak a few words to you and push you in a corner and shut your spirit moving down? Why don't you let your spirit shut them down? If they don't like it, they can eat somewhere else. That doesn't mean we're sitting there with a Bible pounding them on the head, but you know what I mean. And I got tired one day because the Holy Spirit, I guess, just made it awareness in my heart. I got tired of giving in to everybody else and trying to make them happy. And I thought, you know, the one I'm supposed to be pleasing is God. And He's not very pleased with me right now because I keep compromising to make people happy. There's another thing that comes in here, and I've said it before. If you get to a certain age, you just get to where you don't give a rip as much anymore. When I was younger, I wanted all these friends, and then you get to a certain place in life, and it's like, I don't care. Just say it like it is. Big deal. Fear is one of them. Fear of rejection, fear of harassment, fear, whatever, abandonment. Let me give you a few more so we don't hold here too long. Greed. I don't want to give up some things God might want me to give up. If we're all honest, we fear real total transformation, totally being who God wants us to be, because he might, and we know in our heart, He might ask us to give up something. What is it for you? Chocolate cake? I'm using that as a mild one. Could it be whatever it is you turn to under stress? What is it for any of us? Rejection, loneliness, guilt. I'll tell you something the devil used here in this total transformation. Because we haven't let God reconcile our past, we're afraid if we just get really involved with the Lord and we just go all out, that somebody will call to our attention, "Do you remember when?" Anybody ever experienced that problem, that guilt problem, that struggle? You're afraid right in the middle of, you know, you're just really, and they're going to say, and I remember when you were 16, 22, 31, and you, whatever. Has anybody in here ever struggled with that anxiety? Yeah, others? I've said this before, so I'm going to say it again now, and it's true. Tell on yourself before they can get to you. Why are you running from something that God's using as a witness now? So if there was an abortion, if there was whatever, there was an affair, there was an addiction. Have you ever thought, now that you're clean with God and you're worshiping the Lord, have you ever thought about using that as a testimony instead of letting the devil intimidate you with it, waiting for somebody to bring it up? Won't you just bring it up yourself? Oh, y'all remember when I was 14, when I was 21, 22, 31, whatever, or 50? Y'all remember I had that fight or this happened? Oh, yeah. And I was so ashamed. I was so hurt. But I brought that before God. Y'all remember how terrible that was? What can they do? You just killed the rumors. You killed the gossip. And you killed the fear of everything. Bring it up yourself. And say, and you remember how God came in. Jesus just came into my life. And he took that away. And he cleansed me from it. And I realized that it was cast into the sea. Removed as far as the east is from the west. And now I'm just here to help anybody else who's been there where I am. Isn't it great? Boy, your friends will stay there, and those who really aren't, they're gone. You want to kill gossip? Tell on yourself. Yeah, use it as a testimony. That's what it's meant to be for. Free yourself. Let God set you free. Anyway, anger. Do you know who you'd be if you weren't angry all the time? Time to find out. I'll tell you, there's something else we fear. We fear that whoever wronged us just won't get what's coming to them. What do you think? So you're going to stay angry at them and that's going to let them get it? I don't want to be angry at anybody anymore. I used to be. I used to be angry at a man that threw us out of our home. Now, all of you have heard this story. Some of you haven't. When my dad died at 56, and we lived on he did ranching and farming and some other guys, and so you had a house provided. My dad had a heart attack one weekend, died. 2 weeks later, the big rancher, he's an oil man at the time, he sent notice out and threw us out of her home. That's the only home I'd ever known, and lost her home with it. I'll tell you something. I despised that man for a long, long time. I couldn't even stand it. The thought of his name made me sick. There was my sister and I had a mother who was very ill, who couldn't take care of herself, and that heartless, cold-blooded man threw us out of that house. 2 weeks, that's it, out. Didn't know where to put my mother, had to have somebody take care of her. She couldn't take care of herself. It was a horrible thing. I carried that animosity for a long, long time. Wouldn't you? Born and raised in that house. 22 years there. Dad dies. That's hard enough to deal with. And 2 weeks later, get out of that house. It's not yours. I didn't even realize that it wasn't mine. You know what I mean? When you're born and raised in the house, it's yours. But the brutal reality came in right in the face and get out. I want somebody else in there. Didn't need anybody there, but he just mean. That's the way he was. Had no feelings. So out we went. It took me years and years and years and years for God to finally get in there and deal with that and say, "You're letting this man control your feelings. You're still tied to that place. You're still tied there. I brought you out of there. I want you to do other things." And finally, God finally got a hold of me through that. You've got to forgive him, and you've got to let it go. What's the matter? You're afraid that I won't deal with him? I already have. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay. And I'm going to challenge you to do what I had to learn in my own life, but it took me so long. And don't take that long, friends. Do it now. Give it to God. Turn it loose. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And I've learned this. The sooner I give it to God, the sooner I see justice. Let it go and let God deal with it. And just let Him deal with you right now. So let me close this. With this living sacrifice, do not conform anymore. It's your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Friends, listen to me. We're in a struggle right now. I never knew it'd be this close to home. We're in an environment, we live in a time when we have a system in our, you know, you used to talk about the world system. It's a U.S. system right now coming right at us. Saying, I want you to accept things because we say to accept these things. I want you to believe things because we, whoever the we is for you, tell you to. But when I read the Word of God, I realize that God is calling me and you and all of us to this. We're going to have to make a decision. Do I believe this or do I not? And if God calls it a certain thing, if God says that's the way it is, then I'm going to, if I believe this, then I accept it that that's the way it is and that's what it's called. We speak the truth in love. We love everybody. But friends, God's way for transformation. That's this last point. And you're going to have to determine that you will live and speak God's truth in love no matter what. If you want to know the will of God and be offered up as a living sacrifice, and not be conformed to this world but be transformed, literally transfigured, a holy man or woman of God, there's got to be that commitment and determination in all of our hearts that we will live and speak God's truth in love. Believe me, I have people come at me ever so often and say, what does your church, where does your stand on this particular subject or on this issue or that issue? And it's like, if it's in the Bible, I stand on it. And it's like, well, wait a minute, that's not current acceptable politics today, that's not acceptable theology in a lot of churches. And it's like, I don't give a rip what the politics say, and I do not especially give a rip what some church says. I give a rip what this Bible says. And if the Bible calls something sin, it's sin. And if it doesn't call it that, then that's not what it is. And that's it. And Jesus said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's it. He's not going to change to please somebody else. And it's like, no, I'm not going to go out here and I'm not on some, you know, I'm not out here to beat people in the head because of their lifestyle. I'm simply saying, I'm sure not going to stand there and say something's okay that God says isn't. Why? Because I have to account to Him for it. And sometimes we need to be reminded we got to come back to God and to His Word. I mean, we celebrated last Sunday the resurrection of Jesus and all that it means. I'll tell you what it means. It means that that God's Word is absolutely true and there's no mistakes in His book. So choose to change. Don't let people push you around anymore. And by the way, can I say this real quick? Get your buttons covered up. Every one of us has certain buttons. And by the way, if you've ever had children, you know what I'm talking about. Kids know how to push just the right button to send you right through the roof. And when those kids grow up, they still do it. I've got a kid. She's in the military, military nurse. But she can call me and we'll be talking and suddenly she's got a finger that doesn't bend. It's just a straight bony finger, emotional finger, and she'll jab a button. And I'm there, and you can feel the cell phones getting hot in my hand. And she knows how to do it. And then can switch that off and turn it so quick. And all of a sudden, I'm so mad. Am I alone in this? Anybody know what I'm talking? And the next minute, it's like, how much money you need? And then after it's all done, you sit there and say, How stupid am I? That kid knows how to take me up over here and then bring me right over here. I'm so mad one minute, I'm going to do her in. I am. I'm going to disclaim her. And the next minute, you need how much? What's wrong with us? You know? And there's people out there that do it all the time. And you're going to have, and they push your buttons. Now, it's one thing with your kids. Husband and wives know how to push buttons. When you have an argument at home, don't you, you ever thought about just cover your little button up because it's just going to get pushed to the point where you're going to blow up? You know, there and built into all of us, there is a little demolition package, and if somebody keeps pushing the button enough, we explode. So we need to let the Lord cover up those buttons, because the devil will use, if it's not your partner, the devil will use somebody to push them. I can turn on the news for just 20 minutes, and every button that I have exposed is pushed more than once. So to choose to change and stop letting people push your buttons. By the way, if you keep reacting the same old way, don't you think they'll keep pushing the same old button? So let's get it closed up. Take it before the Lord and give that, whatever that prejudice, that feeling, that sore spot, soft spot is, and give it to the Lord. Come clean. Just come clean and tell it to God. Counter every negative thought you have. Just start claiming the word of Jesus. Just claim his word. By the way, have you ever thought about becoming God conscious? Instead of Fox News conscious or CNN conscious, whatever it is you do, or, you know, whatever they are. You know, you got to have your news fix. What about your God fix and becoming God conscious? Why don't you listen and read God's news? Become God conscious and Lord, I want to be a living sacrifice. And you have to do this every day. This isn't a one-time thing. I give my body to you, but I give my mind and my thoughts to you. And God, make me God conscious to where I see you, feel you, realize you're working here, that where you lead me in your spirit, to where I'm turned on by you and my emotions flow freely in and through you and your presence in my heart rather than being jabbed all the time by the stuff in this world. God, I'm a living sacrifice. It's my spiritual act of worship, wholly acceptable to you. God, today, keep me from being conformed to the world. Anything in my life that's conforming, reveal it to me and I'll confess it and repent of it. And God, transform me, transfigure me, so that everywhere I go today, people can look at my expressions, sense in my spirit, there is a real person of God. And that's your witness. And that's your testimony. That's what these two little verses all boil into. This is so powerful stuff. I just give it all to you, God. All my hang-ups, all my worries, my fears, my junk. And I receive your spirit. And I place myself firmly in your hands. And you told me that you look at me in your hands. And I'm always before your presence. And you'll never leave me or forsake you. And God, here I am. Take me and use me. A mere human being, but an almighty God. And I see what you've done in the past. And you can do it again. Amen. All right, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power that's in it. But I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit to convict us that your word is true. Cover up the buttons. We come before you and we give ourselves body, heart, soul, spirit, mind, will, and emotion as a living sacrifice to you. And we offer ourselves to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed, changed, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. Bind the devil from us in authority in Jesus' name. And God, just use us the way you want to use us and fulfill your will in our lives. Lord, do great and mighty things through us in Jesus' name.